There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another live broadcast. We do these live broadcasts every Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. It's still daylight savings time in the central part of the United States of America. We got to say the United States of America because we've got so many people that are listening around the world, which is actually very exciting. We had a last week's show was well received. We went a little long. It was a good show. Tonight, we're going to talk about spiritually being enabled, not able, but unable, spiritual enabling, which, I mean, you'll hear the word enabling when it comes to if someone wants to quit smoking and you're buying them cigarettes, or if someone wants to stop drinking and they're going to bars. It's hard to stop drinking when they're serving alcohol in the room that you're in. That's kind of an enabling situation. We're going to talk about it spiritually, right?
I think it's a real good topic, BJ. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. I trust everyone is excited about the night. It's going to be really good. And just the things that you've heard are going to whet your appetite for what's coming.
Well, what's a dictionary say about enabling, the word enable? What's it say? Did you look it up? I thought you looked it up.
No, I looked up the word enable, which is different. That's to help someone to do.
We do that all the time, but we want to look up unable, enabling, which
there is no word unable.
Well, right, but I mean we want to undo things,
right?
Because that's what people are doing.
Absolutely.
In other words,
that's why we're talking about.
In other words, their butts in their way. They got to get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we're not saying that you're not saved. We're not saying that you're not a Christian. That Jesus doesn't know who you are. I mean, we talked about the effectiveness of prayers, but we're talking about the things that keep you from really enjoying your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
The things that you wouldn't think are in your way, that you wouldn't even notice in your way, that can almost be categorized as a type of negative energy. Because anything that takes your focus off of God and it centers your focus on the world, whatever it may be, is not any good.
That's right.
Because we are spirit beings. We're talking about the difference between the unnatural world is the world that our bodies are in, but then the natural world is a spirit world. So this all ties together, and basically what this means is a spiritual enabling means that you are putting something in the way of your spirit going home.
Correct. Absolutely.
It's no different than saying, I can't go home because when I went out to the parking lot at my office today, I had a flat tire.
Right.
I can't get home because there's a traffic jam. I can't get home because there's ice and snow on the roads. Those enable you from getting home.
Right.
Well, we're going to talk about spiritual things, right?
Yes, we are. And this is a good topic because it's very, very possible and most likely is that most people, as BJ mentioned, are in our own way. And that's kind of an interesting, revealing thought, but nevertheless, it's so. We would attribute most things to, well, the devil made me do it, or the devil did this and the devil did that. But really and truly, the world set up perfectly to preoccupy us with everything that is of the realm of the flesh. And until someone really begins to contemplate and understand this, you find yourself running around what you call life, going from here to there, involved in all kinds of activities that we say, well, it's necessary that I be involved in this. And the majority of the things we involve ourselves with completely preoccupy us and keep us from understanding or being cognizant and aware of God. And the less time you have to meditate and be aware of God and engage Him in conversation, well, you could almost draw the parallel to say this. Look at marriages, one of the things that happens. The things that we do that seem to create all of the wonderful feelings that take place in a dating relationship have to do with the amount of time that we invest into the other person, not only in our thought process, but also in the things that we naturally do according to the way that we're thinking about them. And what does it translate into? It translates into the man doing very romantic and wonderful things where he's considering the woman and showing that individual how he's putting all of his thoughts toward her. It causes the woman to have such a confidence in the way that she's being received, that she's able to respond out of such love and respect for that individual. And you find a relationship begins to grow because of the time invested that we have with each other and how we feed off of our thoughts for each other and the actions that follow. Now, what happens in marriages? Well, and we're not going to get into this subject here tonight, but the truth of the matter is, once a marriage is established, it's so easy for individuals, and it can be the man or the woman, it can be both, to immediately begin to lose the interest of thinking about that partner on a daily basis. And the thing that begins to happen is very simple. Two lives begin to live their own lives and begin to pull apart. And so the same thing is happening here with God. We've brought people into the kingdom of God with the idea that the kingdom of God is basically getting a tag on your back and a passport to get you into heaven, but life goes on as it was. And that's so far from the truth. Life begins in God, and your relationship with Him begins with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And from that moment, the realm of the Spirit and everything that is godly is now at your disposal to enhance and to enlighten you and to give you a brand new existence. But an individual has to become aware of these things. And that's why tonight we're going to be talking about some of the things that trip us up on a regular basis and keep us from experiencing our homeland, from our home that is the spirit realm and God. This is a really good subject tonight, BJ. I'm real glad that we're going to pick this apart here. And I really think there's some great things ahead. I got a few scriptures that I want to share with each, with the individuals that are with us, our folks. And I think we're going to have a great show.
Oh, yeah, we always have a great show because we're talking about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
As I like to call the guys.
Sure enough.
You know, we've got some testimonies later in the show, and if you'd like to send us an email, because last week we did have some emails that were interactive with the show, which were really great, you can email us. Just go to the show's website, theabidingpresence.com. And you can, you'll see where it says there's a contact page. And if you don't have email, we now have a P.O. box that you can use to contact us. But what's real interesting about this enabling thing is let's break it down into people that into terms that they can understand, because sometimes it can be very discouraging, because you can be in a building that someone's calling a church, and there can be a testimony, and on the outside, that testimony sounds wonderful and glorious. And then you hear words like supernatural. It's a miracle. And you keep fighting that cancer. And you just keep going to therapy and working your way off of those crutches, out of that wheelchair. And so people think that it's a good fight. It's a fight that has to be fought. That it isn't instantaneous. And that is a major enabler to everybody in that building.
Yeah.
Because they think, well, how is my prayer going to be effective? How am I going to be cured? Because all I have are migraines.
Correct.
And this guy has lung cancer.
Right.
I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get into...
That's enabling. Explain
yes.
that. And
well,
the pitfalls of that.
When you get into congregations of people, large congregations of folks, and testimonies happen. I mean, I've watched it personally firsthand, and I've watched it for the good, and I've also watched it for the negative or the bad. And just as an example for the good, I remember in one particular meeting, all we needed was the first miracle. And it was a lady that came up to the front, and she said, I have a tumor in my chest, and it was the size of a grapefruit. And I spoke to the woman, and I said, well, take someone with you to verify that it's so. Go to the restroom and put some water on that. I said, just sprinkle some water on that. And I said, and you'll come back in here with a glowing testimony. Well, she ran out. She went to the restroom, took a lady with her to verify that the tumor was there, sprinkled some water on it, and came busting through the doors seconds later going, my God, the tumor's gone. It's completely gone. And everybody erupted with thanks and praise to God. And while that took place, it was like spontaneously, all of a sudden, people started recognizing that God was in the room to heal. And we had all kinds of hands going up, and someone's ear popped open. Another individual had arthritis throughout their body, and they were completely healed. Another individual's hips were completely healed. We had all kinds of wonderful and regular, natural, godly experiences happening. And it was one experience spurring or affecting another. And so I share that with you to let you see how wonderful it is to be in a room where there's an infection of God. Now, turn that around the wrong way. And I've also been in a room like BJ's talking about. And here you are. And we're all saying together, well, everyone, we need to pray extra special for a miracle. Well, first of all, my thought is, why do we have to pray extra special for a miracle? Because then that makes a miracle special. Where a miracle should be just common practice to the Christian. That's what happened when we got born again. We crossed over from the carnal fleshly world over to the spirit world. And now we're touching God through which everything about God is miraculous.
Well, yeah, but really, technically, there are no miracles. It's just either you're there and it works, or you're gone and it doesn't. It's absolute.
Yeah.
Because, see, when you use words like supernatural, amazing, one in a million, a miracle, it makes it sound like it's select.
Yes.
That it's deluxe, it's special, like double coupon day.
Right, right.
And that is totally against the word of God.
Yeah, it's against the finished work of Christ. It's finished, it's finished.
Yes, all your sins are forgiven.
Right.
Ask and you shall receive. What about those two statements says anything about supernatural, miracle, double coupon, half off if you buy the first one?
Nothing. Nothing at
no,
all.
No, and see, those are words that only apply to English-speaking people.
Yes.
Because there are, I don't know how many languages there are in the world, but there's more than I use because I barely function with the one that I was born into. But I mean, I know for a fact there are many languages where there is no word for miracle. There is no word for supernatural.
Yeah.
Just like there is no word for microwave oven.
So could you say, and I think you are saying it, we've created a culture of individuals who've put what God does on a regular basis off into the ether world where it's something unattainable.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're partially right. We've created a society, but man has created a civilization.
Yes.
I mean, you and I have talked about this at your house and in my living room at the ranch. We've talked about how Adam and Eve were one click off.
Yes.
It started there.
Yeah.
And we've just gone click, click, click.
Right.
Through the decades, through the centuries, through thousands of years.
Which is really a scary thought to people.
It's almost like a spiritual distortion.
It is. To conceptualize the possibility that how we function in the world today is light years away from how God actually wanted to
be. Well, I think a perfect example of it is people say, well, I'll use what I just told you about Adam and Eve, one click away, blah, 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 blah. And they'll say, well, I don't know. I really can't perceive that. And I says, well, really? And I'll say, look, you know, go get a book. So they go get their Bible. And I'll show them different places in the Bible. I'll say, look, there is nothing about the Bible. There is nothing about Christ that has a gray area.
Right.
God doesn't grade or judge on a curve.
No, he doesn't.
It's absolute. Yes, or no, good or bad, God or Satan. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, well then, when it says all sins are forgiven, ask and you shall receive, all prayers are granted,
yes.
If there are So then they say, well, if you're going to say that, then that means all these people that are praying and all these people that are asking for things, they're not really praying because their prayer isn't really a prayer. And I go, yeah, now you're getting it.
Yes.
And they go, well, then that means that there's a whole lot of people that are wrong. And I'll say, well, they're not necessarily wrong. What they're doing is not accurate.
Okay.
And you can't hold them accountable for it, because it's basically the blind leading the blind.
Yes.
If you're born thinking that when you're thirsty, you put a rock in your mouth and you roll it around and you suck on it, and it causes a saliva in your mouth, and that's the only way you can keep your mouth moist, what would you think if somebody said, well, stop putting rocks in your mouth and just take a drink of water?
Right.
You'd say, well, what are you talking about? For good luck, I'm using my great-grandfather's rock right now. Chomp, 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 chomp. And they'd say, but the problem is it talks about worldly things. There's nothing of this world that is good.
Yeah.
Languages, words are of this world.
Yes, yes. And I think this is a good place for me to just interject this scripture here that I think will really help us.
Well, it's your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Listen real carefully, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified as well. But notice what it says here. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's really, really good. And listen to this in the Amplified. I think it'll help you to see it even in a greater light. It says, see to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, which in parenthesis is idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. BJ, did you see that? Let me say that again. Man's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world.
Well, see,
isn't that good?
Yeah, the Bible just doesn't say it as good as I do.
That's a matter of interpretation right there.
Only mine, by the way.
That's right.
No one else will go with that. But I know I'm giving these people a tablespoon of sand, and what you just read out of scripture is like a dump truck full of sand. I mean, you know, I better correct it just because, you know, I learned this a long time ago on radio. When you say things, there's always at least one person that thinks that it's true, no matter what it is.
Right.
I mean,
right.
One time I said pigs fly, and I promise you someone was going out buying binoculars, figuring that their breakfast bacon was going to fly by the picture window at any moment.
Well, we'll have to be real careful because that could be
but
scary.
No, but yeah. what you just
isn't that
read,
good?
Yeah, because it goes to the heart of what I'm saying, the true folly, the true ridiculousness of this world.
That's...
And, you know, people all the time, they say, you know, you're never bothered by anything. You're always in a good mood. You're always even... easygoing, and you just take everything in stride. And they say, why is that? And I says, I don't care. And they go, no, really. No, I know you care because you help people all the time.
Uh-huh.
I says, no, I really don't care. And they go, why don't you care? And I go, because God doesn't care.
Yeah.
Why would God care about traffic? Why would he care that unless you hurry up and drive like a maniac, you're going to miss the two for one package of underwear at Kmart?
Yeah.
I mean, and we get all wound up like an 8-day clock over these ridiculous things.
Right, which is, again, it's following suit for how other people have brought life to us.
Well, now I got another question for you because you can find something, and I'll give you a moment to flip to it. But somewhere in the Bible, it talks about don't worry about being hungry. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep. You know, and it talks about how if I'm taking care of birds and I'm taking care of flowers, I'm going to take care of you. You're made in my image. Where is that?
Matthew 6.
Okay, well, why don't you read that?
All right. It says in verse 25, and I've got to come back to Colossians 2. We didn't finish it, but this is so good.
Yeah.
It says, therefore, I say to you, this is Matthew 6, 25, and this is the red version. So Jesus is speaking this. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Wow, that gets most of us right there. Is not this life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, now go back to Colossians.
Okay.
And we're talking about enabling, spiritual enabling.
Right.
Because what you just said was, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. I usually don't paraphrase, but I will now. But, okay, this is my paraphrase. Don't worry about the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
It's all BS.
Yeah, it's all small stuff.
It's all fertilizer for my pastures. Yeah.
It's all small stuff.
It's all small stuff. And I scoop that small stuff out of my stalls in my barn every day.
Okay.
Okay, now, all that stuff that Jesus just said is small stuff.
Yes.
That you shouldn't be concerned about.
Right.
Is enabling. They're roadblocks.
Yes.
Now, apply that to what it says in Colossians.
Well, here's one of the thoughts I wanted to give you. When it says here in the Amplified, following human tradition, the parenthesis says, men's ideas of material rather than the spiritual world. So right here, the definition that the Amplified version is giving us of human tradition is men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Then it goes on to say, just crude notions following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. So what we're seeing here is really plain before my face, and that is what we have is a world completely webbed full of deceptions and traditions and ideas of man that have superseded the real truth and idea of God. And God has a plan for every one of us, but we have to step into and comprehend how God sees things, which is the realm of the spirit for man to find success. And this is why it's so, so, so very important for all of us to know this one truth. And that is, God doesn't see things in gray matter. It's black and white. It's always absolute. And if you'll find that one truth, I was just sharing with a couple of friends here just recently. In fact, some of the guys that helped me in our hospital ministry where we've raised up individuals to go into the hospitals as chaplains and pray for the sick. And I was sharing with them this truth just a couple of minutes ago where talking about the supernatural versus the natural. BJ's alluded to that. We really shouldn't be calling it the supernatural versus the natural. It should be the natural versus the unnatural.
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's the spirit, it's the energy of Christ against negative energy. It's
yes.
like two posts on your car battery. There's
yes.
a positive and a
and
negative.
There's a negative. Very good.
And there's nothing in between.
Right. Very, very much so. And some of you are wondering, well, where are you getting this? Well, very simply, let's go back to the author of who made this planet and how he made it to give us an understanding of purpose. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for Adam and Eve to run around for about 5 or 6 years after God created them, never having met the God of their creation, wondering what in the world their purpose was? Well, I want to let you know that the moment Adam and Eve were created and they took their first breath, God was there to give them purpose so that they could begin to, in this material, physical world, express themselves through their spirit. And this is what we must understand, God's design for us to be in a human body in this, what we call this earthly realm, was so that we could express ourselves through our spirit. And every area where you find yourself having contradictions, where you're preoccupied with what we call an unnatural or fleshly world, is the potential to pull you away and keep you from expressing your heart or your spirit where you're going to find your success. And this is one of the greatest deterrents and the reason why we're talking about this spiritual enabling, which is roadblocks to your success.
Oh, yeah. That was perfect.
Oh,
you do such a good job.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Thanks for letting me be on the show.
Amen.
You know, the thing about what you just said is someone's sitting at home right now.
Yeah.
And they're making a laundry list in their mind of roadblocks, enablers.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to get really sad and real depressed. Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to cry because they're going to say, I've got so many roadblocks, I don't think I'll ever get where I want to be spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to address that because we don't want, we don't want to scare anybody. We don't want to make them feel that it's, that they've got so much stuff in their life, they're just totally screwed. What we want to do is we want to bring this to their attention because we want their attitude to be, okay, small stuff, small stuff, small stuff, small stuff.
Right, 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 right.
It's literally like your neighbor's dog who goes to the bathroom on your yard. You spot it, you can smell it, you don't like it, and you sidestep it. And the more times the neighbor's dog comes over, the more you can spot it, the easier it is to know. That after a while, you know when that small stuff is going to be on your yard. It's the same with your life. If you identify this stuff, well, why are you laughing? It's true. If you identify this stuff, because it is. It's just neighbor dog stuff. It's horse stuff. It's hamster stuff. It's stuff. And when you identify this stuff, you can it actually should give you peace of mind. Because you can back it up with what you just said in Mark and with Colossians. It says, by the way, if it's of this world, it's stuff.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm going to give you an illustration from Mark and chapter 5, which is really an interesting passage that really helps some of you that BJ described. If you're feeling like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in my life. There are a lot of obstacles. Well, remember the woman with the issue of blood? It says for 12 long years, she was no better, but rather grew worse. And if that's not bad enough, she was without money because she spent all the money that she had and was still not any better. Well, to me, that sounds like a pretty miserable life, full of despair, not a lot of hope in your life. In fact, let me say it to you like this, because I think we mentioned this last week, and it bears repetition. It kind of goes back to something that I kind of feel like I want to coin as the pothole theory. I know that sounds kind of weird, but think about it this way. You drive down the road and you notice a pothole. Now, of course, the streets there in New York, Niagara Falls, New York, were famous for potholes like crazy because of our weather. Well, you drive down the road and there's a pothole, and you find yourself avoiding the potholes, just like BJ talking about the little dog in the yard. You avoid the pothole. Well, one pothole leads to another pothole that leads to another pothole. And before you know it, you find yourself on a road where you're no longer trying to avoid the pothole. You've actually come down to the place where you're saying, I'm just trying to avoid the big potholes because there are so many potholes on this road. So basically, you've then just compromised being able to find any road that's smooth, and you've just accepted the fact that life is going to be really bumpy. I'm going to try my best to not have it be as bumpy as it could. Now, look at, if this is how we are, and you've had something that's been messing with you for years and years and years, it's real possible that's exactly where you are. You've accepted the place that there are potholes, there's always going to be potholes, I'm just trying to have a better day than a worse day. But the Bible tells us when this woman with the issue of blood, she's so weak, she's lost all her money, she's not any better, but she's rather growing worse when she heard about Jesus. And this is where I want you to get excited. One good word about Jesus caused 12 years of misery to be forgotten. In an instant of time, her acknowledgement of Jesus as her hope and as her source of supply instantly diffused 12 long years of being on a road with nothing but potholes and accepting that life was going to be bumpy. And immediately she's on a road that has the potential to be as smooth and as clear, praise the Lord, as any road you've ever been on where there's not a pothole or a bump in sight. And notice what she does. Because of that hope, it immediately stirs her to act in what we call faith. To begin to, where she couldn't see what she was looking for, she knew in her heart that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she makes her way to Jesus. Now, this is a perfect example, folks, that if you find yourself identifying with what we're talking about here tonight, again, our identification with it is just so that we begin to all see that these major roadblocks are things that we are allowing to be in our life. Sure, they're of this devil's world, the way that Satan has conjectured this world through years and years and years and years of people being just one little step away from the truth. And after 1,000 years, you're so far from the truth, you can't even see the truth anymore and don't recognize the truth if you did see it. This is the kind of world we've been brought into, and we've accepted so many levels of our experience in this world as subpar levels to what God actually intended. That's why we're trying to help you to get a new definition for supernatural. Instead of the elusive supernatural that barely ever comes to anyone I've ever met, now the supernatural is the most natural thing that you've ever experienced, something you can actually expect because God is absolute. And if he's for you, you better know tonight. Folks, I'll say it again. If God is for you, you better know tonight that your situation is changing. You better start relaxing and resting. In fact, we so often make statements that, again, it's exactly why we're in this TV show, or excuse me, in this radio show here tonight. We make statements like, brother, I'm standing with you. I'm with you. Well, you know, if you're really seeing things as Christ is, stop standing and sit down because the job's done.
Yeah, it's like what I said. You got to get out of your own way.
Got to get out of your own way.
And there are so many things in buildings that people call churches. And you know, we got to address it, but we're going to address it when we come back. We're going to give you a short break here for a second, for a minute or two. But there are family members, close family members, to live in the same house as people that are listening to the show right now this week. As the show streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free, or if they're listening live right now, there are people that live in homes and apartments, RVs, all over the planet that are being enabled by people they love. What are you doing reading that Bible? Why are you praying? You really think that's going to do any good? Would you just turn that stupid computer off and come have a beer with me? They're just talking about God. Everybody's talking about God. I'm sick of hearing about God. God, 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 God. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Right now, what we need to do is tell you that if you've just tuned in for the first time, welcome. This is the Abiding Presence Radio Show. Your host is Jim Hockaday, who's a really good guy. He buys me vanilla malts, so he's a really good guy. You can check out the show's website. You can go to www.theabidingpresence.com. And we've got some letters. We've got some theories when we talk about theories. And for your consideration, there's a lot of things for you to read on the show's website. And if you want to send an email, just make sure you say, hey, BJ, I don't want you to mention my name. It's okay if you mention my first name, not my last name. Or if you just want to pass along that you're listening to the show and wherever you are. And make sure if you send an email, tell us where you are, because we're always curious to know who is listening and where they are. And it's real easy to send us an email on the Contact Us page. And if you record the show and load it up on Facebook or YouTube or somebody's tube, and the person listening to it doesn't have email, we now have a post office box, United States mail, and the P.O. Box address is on the Contacts page as well. And thanks for listening. Okay, let's go back to what I said. Because one of the biggest enablers that people face, and this is also a social enabler, because people make fun of Christians.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, are you a Christian? You don't drink, you don't smoke. That's what someone the other day said that to me. I was in a Walmart, and this guy, he couldn't get the shopping carts apart.
and he had his arm in a sling, and he was trying to pull on the carts. I mean, he wasn't really bright because there was like 1,000 carts, and he could have just went to the next row of carts. And I didn't point that out, but I mean, you know, let's tell the story accurate. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's about as sharp as a marble. And so anyways, I go over and I says, let me help you. So I didn't separate those two carts, by the way. I just went and grabbed one to kind of show him,
right,
you know, there's more than just these two carts.
Right.
You don't have to battle them, you know. So I handed him a cart. And then this lady, she says, well, that was really nice. And I says, here's one for you. And she says, do you drink? And I says, no. And she says, do you smoke? And I says, no. And she says, well, you're really friendly. You seem to be helping people. She says, you must be a Christian. And I says, well, I can't smoke and I can't drink because my psychiatrist says it'll affect the medication I take. And her eyes got as big as hubcaps. And she just like couldn't pedal her little shopping cart away. She thought, oh, my gosh, this long-haired cowboy is nuts.
Folks, he made that up, just so you know.
No, I didn't make it up. It's a true story. And you.
No. I mean, you made up that you're on medication is what I said.
Oh, well, yeah, well, no. That's probably the only thing they believe.
I know.
If they've listened to more than one show, they says, of course he's on medication.
That's the irony of the whole thing, isn't it?
It is. That's the only truth.
They believed you're on medication, not that you were actually helping somebody.
Yeah. And that shock therapy is just one pill away.
Isn't that wild?
But no, let's talk about this enabling now because it's serious. But I wanted to make people smile a bit because we're going to make some people cry here.
Yeah.
I've got
a great passage for you. You set this up really well to just read just
because,
a little bit here.
I mean, there's wives that are listening.
Yeah.
There are children that are Christians and their parents are not, and the parents literally are enabling their children from going to Sunday school, to church, to being part of a youth group. Because, well, I don't have time to take you to church.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy you special clothes for church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're only getting a D in math. Maybe you should spend less time reading that Bible and spend more time with your math book.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, this is really good here. It says, now they came to Jericho, and this is Mark chapter 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, that means he began to shout, and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. BJ, this is what I wanted to bring into our thoughts here. This is a perfect example of here's a man that's crying out for Jesus, and everybody that's around him says, shut up, be quiet, stop crying out. What are you doing, you blind beggar? And they're trying to stop his spiritual progress and get right in the way.
And if you fast forward that to say today, 2011, the last couple weeks of September, it happens at people's workplace. What if someone, if they weren't at their job and they're in a cafeteria at the office building, they would normally say grace before they eat their lunch? I wonder how many people, what do you think the odds are? Because who likes math? God likes math. God likes math. And how many people you think don't say grace? Or how many people do you think, well, we're at a Pizza Hut right now, and we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable, so we're not going to say grace at Pizza Hut. We say grace at home. There's people that do that.
Yeah,
and
constantly.
What are they doing to their children? They're teaching their children that you should have a relationship with Christ, that you should pray, that you should be grateful for your food and say grace, but society trumps that.
Yes.
That's enabling. That's what we're talking about, spiritual enabling.
So it's more important to listen to society than it is to God. Well, even the scriptures declare in the Gospels that Jesus came to individuals that were Pharisees, and there were a certain number that believed. However, they would not confess him for fear of the other Pharisees that were with them. And so all of the same games that are played with kids, with all the rustling back and forth between identity and who's who and who's not, all these things come into play that try to keep someone from God, which is very interesting because the devil seems to have set things up in the earth where he doesn't really have to do as much as we think he's doing.
He's not doing anything because he's been defeated and he has no power.
Yeah.
It's absolute. It's, yeah. It goes back to what I said. There is no gray area. God doesn't grade on a curve. And so if Satan, devil, Beelzebub, whoever you want to call him, we call him negative energy on the show. If negative energy has literally zero power to influence you, then that means all the enabling, all the small stuff is literally flesh made. It's of this world.
Right. Well, people are involved in this world more than they know.
Yes. And once they realize this, they're not, people listening to this show shouldn't feel bad about their family. They shouldn't feel bad about their life. They should be happy that you brought this up.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the story here of blind Bartimaeus,
they should feel relieved.
It says that when he cried out and they told him to be quiet, it says he cried out all the more. So guess what he did? He raised his voice. Why? Because his miracle's passing him by, and he's about to get his healing. So here's a thought. God will answer the cry of your heart, whether you're shouting out loud or not. I want you to know whether there's even individuals in your own family that are discouraging you or making you feel weird about your heart's commitment to God. God hears your heart, and in the quietness of your heart, the intent of your heart that is for God will be answered by him. And you can be confident that your relationship can grow even in the midst of, surrounded by individuals that are trying to distract you from him. God hears your heart.
Yes, and I'll bet you a shiny new dime, Jim, that there's somebody, at least half a dozen people that listen to the show over the... No, I'll bet 50 people that are listening to the show over the next 7 days as it streams 24/7 have someone in their life that they consider that they would buy a Christmas gift or a birthday gift for.
Okay.
That they would allow them in their home when they're not home.
Okay.
Close family or friend.
Right.
Okay. That falls into that negative energy enabling.
Yes.
And I don't know if we will get one single email, because to send an email to an internet radio show saying, it's my father, it's my mother, it's my husband, it's my wife, my brother, sister, aunt, and uncle, it's my best friend, it's my boss. Because when they type it, it becomes reality.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain worldly denial that until you write it and read it or say it and hear it, it may not be true.
Yeah.
It could just be your imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I like what Bartimaeus did. He didn't have any problem admitting what it was.
Well,
he cried out all
said,
the more.
When I say it, I hear it.
That's right.
It's true.
That's right.
Ask and you will see.
That's right.
It all comes around to, and see, this enabling, this spiritual enabling, is a massive reason why someone says, well, I pray all the time and nothing happens.
Yeah.
My prayers don't work.
Yeah.
There is no God.
Well, as long as you brought that up, I want to submit this, because this is really pretty amazing. We've talked about individuals or some negative influences directly coming against you to keep you from going towards God.
Right.
But wait a minute. What about the church's potential to hinder or limit people in the church from experiencing God?
Well, see, that's why I call them buildings.
Let me give you.
You know, I say they're buildings. There's not very many buildings that you can call a church because of that.
Yeah, I understand. And this is where religion comes in.
Yes.
What about religion?
Doctrine.
Doctrine that comes in that begins to tell somebody, well, you know, you just need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and sooner or later, faith is going to get down in your heart. Well, wait a minute. Is it possible we just put somebody on a journey that they're most likely never going to find the end to?
Well, the only way that you're going to make a building successful with a lot of people and generate who knows what kind of financial gains for prayer requests and buying, you know, Revelation oven mitts and, you know, Last Supper dinnerware, is you're gonna have to twist and turn and manipulate scripture and make it doctrine.
Yeah, because if people are not being genuinely helped, as we see Jesus helping people, then something has to happen to the message in order to keep people hooked.
Because it just kills me. The other day I was at someone's house and they were watching this show. And this lady's got a microphone in front of her and she says, "We have prayer teams waiting." And I thought, God doesn't wait.
Right. You know, interesting words, huh?
Yeah. We have prayer teams waiting. All you have to do is email us or send a letter to us, and our prayer team will get to you. And I thought, get to you? What?
Yeah.
Where's this all sins are forgiven, asking you will receive? It doesn't say, you know, P.O. Box heaven, you know, or, yes. or you know, www.theholyspirit.com.
Right, right.
Well, what do these people think? If I only could afford to send this place money, my prayers would be answered. Why aren't your prayers being answered? Well, you know, I haven't been in contact with the prayer team.
Yeah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one prayer team. You know what it is? It's your spirit and Christ.
Right.
There's your prayer team.
Well, look at what you just described. You described someone making somebody feel like they couldn't have something when? Right now.
Exclusivity.
Exactly. And so this goes into almost so much of the doctrine that we've accepted as truth. For instance, BJ, the idea that maybe I need to pray more. I need to read
harder,
my Bible.
Pray harder.
Pray harder. Pray
harder.
More. I need to read my Bible. Let's everybody get together and believe God for this miracle.
Right.
Now, again, it's not like we're diminishing the idea of corporate prayer, people coming together with an intent to see God move. What we're diminishing is the idea that we've put these things off into the future. We've laid heavy yokes and burdens on people's back to make them feel like they haven't done enough, as though Jesus and his precious blood and the cross that he bore wasn't good enough for God
right.
to resurrect us and give us our righteousness. And we put people in this zone where they're not able to have it yet, where don't expect it now, and hope and pray that it'll come tomorrow. And maybe if you've done good enough, you can expect God to do something good enough for you. I tell you what, BJ, we need to do. Let's get everybody to give $100 offering, and then tomorrow you can expect that God will work for you. Well, what's that all about? And that doesn't mean that someone in the Bible, there aren't stories of the widow giving all that she had and Jesus saying, look at how she gave of all her might.
Right.
But
there's
that's
nothing,
not diminishing
that's good.
That.
No,
that's good. It's just that we're placing burdens on people
yes.
and we're weighing them down when Christ came to set them free.
Yeah.
This is all a form of the same topic tonight, whether someone's blatantly saying, get rid of all your religion, you're not going to be religious in our house, or someone saying, hey, read the Bible more. If you'll read the Bible more, then God will answer your prayer. It's the same thing. It keeps you from receiving your answer.
I thought when I was listening to this lady, and she said, we have prayer teams waiting, you know, and for this amount of money, and it was like, you know, like a game show, like a pyramid thing. And I thought, you know what? If I had as many people listening to this radio show as there are people watching this lady on satellite TV, if they all sent $10, I says, I bet I could talk a publishing company into giving me Bibles for just a few dollars. And with postage, I says, we could literally give away free Bibles to anybody who doesn't have one and can't afford one.
Yeah.
I said, now that is the power of worldly financial gain. Doing something for the Spirit.
Yes. That's what we're all about here, folks, on this radio show.
I mean, it's literally like, it's society, civilization. See, because you can't, you can and you should hold that building and that person that I'm referring to accountable, yes. But I bet you if you put them on a lie detector machine, they'd pass. Because they'd say, well, no, this is religion. This is what it is to be a Christian. This is how it works. It goes back to what I said at the beginning
right.
of the show.
Right.
This is my great-grandfather's rock in my mouth.
Yes.
This is how we quench our thirst, by sucking on a rock. It goes to Scripture, what you talked about, tradition,
yes.
worldly civilization stuff.
Yes, yes. Materialism versus the spirit realm.
Well, misinformation.
Yes, absolutely. And this is what we're against more so than we're fighting some enemy that's trying to rail himself against us. And don't take me the wrong way. We know we've got Scripture that says the enemy roams like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I understand that. And he's there to put suggestions in your mind of things that are untruths. I understand that. But the greatest problem that we struggle with today is the misconceptions of who God is and the realm of the spirit that we were made to live in, the redemption that we have in Christ that puts us in perfect harmony with God, who has once and for all remitted all sin from our life, past, present, and future, giving us the right to have access to Him 24/7, where you begin to experience God, not just learn about Him, not just hear about Him, not go to church to sing about Him. All of those things are good. You need to learn about Him. You need to hear about Him. And you need to sing and worship about Him, but you need to experience Him. Amen.
Now, we got an email here, a testimony from last week's show.
Yes.
Her name is Lynna. Would that be Lynna or Lina? Lynna? Lynna? Lynna?
Sounds like that's right.
That's what I would say, yeah. Lynna. I'm
I mean, you
I
got,
wanted to
you
spell
got,
it so the person knows.
You
it.
Got yeah. your German right the other day, so I think this is good.
Yeah, but I was practicing that while I was scooping stuff. Okay, this is what she writes. Dear BJ and Jim, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking the time for last week's show. I really think it represents where 99% of the body of Christ is at, and that's sad. Sometimes when a Christian asks a question that really boils down to what you said when you summed it up, why isn't this working? No one really wants to deal with the issue, or they say you're not walking in love, or seek God for the answer. In the Bible, it seemed like the norm for the early church. When did the church get away from that? See, we've been talking about this.
Yes, we have.
This is a very appropriate email we got. But I don't think some may realize how important that issue really is, not only to the person needing healing and not experiencing it, but to their loved ones as well. I have been listening to the message of grace for about a year now and was introduced to Jim's ministry also. I do have many of his resources. I like Cheryl. That's another lady that, well, Cheryl, last week's
yes.
show was based on Cheryl's
Yeah, in fact, I talked with Cheryl, you know.
Yeah. I like Cheryl, do not feel any condemnation. I know I am identified with Christ's perfect work on my behalf. I know that my spirit is totally whole, the way my body should be. What I want to say is that I have not experienced healing manifested still, and my three children, two of whom are teenage boys, don't want anything to do with the church or God. See, that's the type uh-huh. of enabling.
Right.
She's a good mom. She loves her sons.
Right.
And her sons are probably, they might be joking, making some jokes that they don't know might hurt mom's feelings. Veins and, let's see, it says, anymore because they have not seen mom healed or anyone else. I've had the past several years, hair loss, which is devastating for a woman, and bulging veins and skin that has aged to a 70-year-old's. Where when I hold something or lean on something for a few seconds, it leaves a dent for almost a day. I put myself out there in situations where I feel so embarrassed of my physical condition and expected God to meet me there and have not experienced healing. I know that I am a spirit and that my spirit is the perfect of what my outside flesh body should reflect. Any time that this could be dealt with one-on-one, one of the shows would be so appreciated. The greatest salvation witness that could be given to my sons is that God's word does work. Thank you again for your show. It's time the church hears the things you guys are sharing. Well, the only thing I disagree is I don't know if the churches want to listen to. I know they don't want to listen to me. Now you get to go to these really nice churches and they like you. And then see, she followed protocol. She says, you may share my email and my first name, but please do not disclose my last name. See, folks, the system works. You can email us at theabidingpresence.com.
Yes.
Okay. You know what I want to do? I want right now, because we did this for someone else. People are going to be listening to the show for 7 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think, let's say a prayer for her.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's Lynna, isn't it?
I want to say, I'm going to go with Lynna.
Okay.
And you know, I spelled her name Lynna, and she's probably listening, so she knows who she is.
Listen.
It doesn't matter what her name is, but yeah, let's go with Lynna, and let's pray for her right now, all of us.
I want you to pay attention to the words that I use in this prayer, because it's really, really important, and it goes back to actually getting some of these thoughts from the Apostle Paul and in Ephesians. But listen closely to these words. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your supply. I thank you for Jesus Christ and that the work is complete. And because the work is complete, we have confidence tonight. And I'm asking you to touch Lena and open her mind and heart to the realness of your presence, your glory, and your life. Because this night, that life and that presence is her healing and her health. Because Jesus finished this work, this wonderful, wonderful night will begin a real wonderful experience for Lena. And we thank you for it right now. By the work of the Holy Spirit, by the precious authoritative name, I thank you for touching her, opening up her mind and heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, and I'd just like to add that all of you good folks, fine folks all over the planet, because we're in about 15, 20 countries already after just sixth show. This is our number sixth show.
Uh-huh.
Amazing, we're in all these countries already. When you hear this show, whenever you do hear this particular broadcast, we did it live on this Wednesday night between 8 and 9 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time in the Midwest in Oklahoma, United States of America. When you hear this and you hear Jim's prayer, would you just think of this woman?
Yes, that's really good.
And just for a moment, just take 10 to 20 seconds out of your existence on this unnatural ball that we call the world, and just focus on her, because I thought it was real interesting and such a... I know she's a wonderful mother because she didn't say that she wanted to feel better for her. She literally wrote in her email, I want to be healed because I want my sons to see that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And I want to help her accomplish that. And I know we have, and I want everybody to get in on it.
Yeah, that's good. In fact,
because we are a family. We're all God's children. So,
you
know.
And for those few brief moments, those 10 seconds that BJ talked about, 20 seconds, just give thanks to God that God heard our prayer, that Lena is experiencing God's wonderful touch. And change is taking place in her body. You do that with us, and we're doing that here at the show. And we just thank God. You know, I want you to get ready for the weeks and months ahead, because we're going to have so many healing testimonies coming in from this show. The things that we're talking about and revealing are only opening up your heart and spirit and your mind so that God and your experience with Him can be so much more bountiful. And you're just going to begin to experience so many wonderful things in your life. We're going to have testimonies coming in. I'm glad, BJ, you even added to the contact page the P.O. Box, because we can be reached that way by the P.O. Box. It's on the Abiding Presence Radio Show contact page. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it's on the contact page. And actually, I need to go by there and check it, because we talked about it on last week's show. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see if we've gotten any mail. And in your letters, ladies and gentlemen, you can, I mean, because some people, your testimony might be too long for an email. Maybe your email doesn't work real well. Maybe you don't want to take a chance. I don't know what you're thinking. Just make sure in your letter, say you can read this on the air, or this is just for you and Jim, or BJ and Jim. Just somewhere on your letter, make sure that you let us know if you'd like it to be read on the show, because we love to read these on the show.
Yeah, these are really good. It helps us to locate where people are at.
You know, I think it does. I think it assists us. But what I really think it does is I think it touches other people that are listening.
Yes.
Because it's real easy to be in a bedroom or your kitchen or in your garage or your basement with your computer on, listening to a couple guys in Oklahoma talk about God's grace.
Yeah.
And you can feel completely alone. And so I like the emails, and I like it when people just say, I'm listening, and I'm in San Antonio. I'm listening. I'm in California. And they can send those emails even if it's not live. If they're saying, I listened to the show Saturday morning at 6 a.m. I got up, and before the rest of the family got up to eat breakfast, I listened to the show, and I loved it. Because that is when they want to listen. It doesn't matter when you listen.
Yes.
It's just that you're opening up your heart to ideas and suggestions about God's grace.
Yes.
Tell us.
You know, the show has been really good tonight, and I'm going to leave you with one last thought here, and then I'll turn it over to BJ here to close things up. But, you know, for the individuals that you're seeing yourself actually possibly persecuted or just someone standing in the way between you and your feelings of security to go to God, and you feel like I can't be vocal or express my heart, let me share with you what Jesus said to Nicodemus, or excuse me, to Bartimaeus, who cried out all the more. Remember, that's the story in Mark chapter 10, if you want to find it, starting in verse 46. But it says here that Bartimaeus cried out all the more, and Jesus stopped and said, "Bring him to me." And when Bartimaeus came to Jesus, here's what Jesus said: "What do you want me to do for you?" Folks, I want you to be encouraged tonight that you can lift up your heart beyond the discouragement of anyone else, or you can lift up your heart beyond all the legalism or the duties that people are placing on you to do all these things so perfectly right before God would ever listen to you, that you can go beyond that, let your heart be settled, and know that what you're hearing is a simple word from the Lord. What would you have me to do for you? How would you feel tonight if in the midst of all that you've heard, that you quiet your heart, your heart's intent is to hear God, and what you end up hearing is, how would you, what would you have me to do for you? I want you to get excited about this. This is what God has for you. BJ?
Yeah, that was really good. You know, one thing I would like to suggest is sometimes we move kind of quick on this show. And Jim will mention a particular chapter, book, or verse in the Bible. So the one reason why we do stream the show 24/7 is so that you can listen to it over and over.
Oh, that's good.
To get that down. And I think one of the things that I do want to talk about in the shows to come is, as you talk about the King James Version, the Amplified Version, I think one of these shows, we're going to take about 10, 15 minutes, and I want you to describe the different quote-unquote types of Bibles there are.
Okay.
I think that would be good.
Okay. That sounds great.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell by the ending music, I don't know about you, but this hour sure goes by fine. You did such a wonderful job, Jim.
Oh, thanks. It was a good show.
I'm just so grateful.
I enjoyed being here with you.
Thank you so much. And remember, we've on the contacts page, you can email us. You can send us regular traditional mail, letter, envelope, stamp. And also, check out the theories page. And for your consideration page on the show's website, we'll be adding some new things in the weeks to come. Take care of yourselves. Make sure you take that time to pray, believe, have faith in yourself that you are a member of God's family. We're all Christ's children. Watch out for negative energy and don't let yourself be enabled. For Jim Huckaday, I'm BJ Rickard. We'll see you and hear you in 7 short days.